Ciao Andrea.
Ciao.
How you
What's
doing,
up?
man?
Good, good. Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, man. So it's cool to talk to you. I haven't seen your face in a while. You're
Yes.
still based in Auckland, eh?
Yes. Kind of strange talking to you like that, you know?
Yeah, it's
Used to
weird.
see you in the shop, not every day, but every second day.
Coming in for advice that I couldn't
Yeah.
apply on the water.
Yeah. I remember that. That was great.
Dude, so, where did you last go fishing? Where did you go fishing? What was the last time you went across
Where
the
I was
water?
last time, I don't even remember. That's bad. Where I was, we went with the baby. We went to it's a secret. I can't tell you.
Ah,
Can't read
shit.
the name. Let's say too many people will complain. So let's say around the Waikato
Okay, well, I
is a
mean.
little stream entering the Wai, but that's fine. There's many. Anyway, that was
Mm.
good. That was good. Was probably too early for what we were expecting to find, but
Yeah.
we had fun, and with the baby, it's just learning, really, starting from zero.
So, the baby, how old is he?
He's 11 now.
11 months.
11 on the 4th, yeah, of February.
11 months. And I see a lot of posts of you guys fishing with him on your back. How easy or how difficult is that?
It is easy. I didn't expect that. First day we brought him on the river, he was 52 days old. So from there we just learn every time, and I thought it was obviously you're not fishing, you're just doing everything apart from fishing, and then maybe you got a cast. But it's great. It's a great feeling. Now he's interacting a little bit more. So you show him the fish, he just does some faces, he tries to grab it and stuff like that. Before it was just in his little baby carrier, not really doing much. So now he's getting now it's getting fun. Now you can enjoy and you can share with him as well, even if it is just 11 months. But
When
seems like he understand more than you think.
we spoke last time, you said you have to keep moving. You can't stand still.
That's right. You can't stand still. For some reason, you can't stand still. If you keep moving, even if he's crying, he's like shouting and screaming and kicking, and then you do three steps and stops. Like he can't stay still for some reason. He likes to keep.
So do you have to like Euro nymph, or can you actually cast with him on the back?
I can cast with him on the back. Yeah. We got a fish on the dry last time.
Oh,
So
nice.
you get a fish in the dry, you got to stand a little bit. So, you can do everything really. Not crazy stuff because you can't really wade too deep, obviously. So let's say you can't wade past your knee because otherwise you're going to get wet.
For
You got his
sure.
little legs hanging on the back. So you work around that, but you can do everything. You can dry fly, dry drop, and anything.
So
And you
it's going
gotta
to
be
be
careful because you can
interesting
hurt
when he
yourself.
starts walking, because then
Yeah.
he's going to want to walk, and then you're going to have to like,
I already have a little rod for him, so I'm prepared.
What? Three weight.
zero way, just a little thing. Just the two section of the top of the rod. Yeah, that's his
Really?
rod.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did you
Yeah.
make it or did you buy it?
No, I just there's like a practice rod
I
you
know
can
those
get,
ones,
you know, the one. It's just it's like having just two pieces of a rod. You can actually cast a six weight line on that.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Some of us
Yeah. See
can.
how we go. See how we go.
Did I tell oh yeah, you know, I snapped that nice rod's tip, and luckily you guys replaced it. Dude, so yeah, where you've been in New Zealand how long?
Oh, now 5 years
Okay,
it
cool.
must be. Yeah, 2000, yeah, 2024 we were here, 2018, yeah, 5 years
Coming up on six.
coming up on
And
six.
where in Italy are you from?
I am from the middle of Italy. The city is called Riccione, but not many people know that. They know more like Bologna. So I
Okay,
always
yeah.
say I'm from Bologna. Then from there you pin a line to the sea, and when you meet the shore, that's where I'm from.
Oh, really? Okay, so you grew up on the ocean.
On the sea, we got a sea. We don't have an ocean. We're
Oh
not that lucky.
yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get into fishing?
I guess my grandfather was the pioneer of the fishing in the family. So from there, my father, then his brother, and all the family was, you know, caught into fishing. And then from there, just when I was 4 years old, I had a rod in my hand. So from there, it just escalated then.
So is that fly fishing, or is that sea? Is that on a boat? What fishing was that?
My father was big on trout.
Yeah.
But it was like catch and release wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
So it's like fishing with the worm. And we call it al toco. So it means that you feel the take with your rod.
Yeah.
So you just have a line, weight, that the run is running through the weight, and then a hook with a worm. And then you just go in the river and you poke it through little spots or where you think the trout might be. And that's the way we're catching them. But it is like a competition style. So it was like pretty full on since I was little already.
But what kind of rod is that? Sorry, just explain that.
Oh, it's like a traditional rod. It's like a telescopic rod. So you can adjust the length. You can have it, I don't know, 5 feet to 13 feet. Really long, really long things.
From wood? From like bamboo or from what?
From carbon fiber.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So you can extend the rod because the piece come off the inside from one another, so they can go out.
Like a Tenkara rod type vibe. Because that's like
that's
extendable.
Right. That's right. Add guides on that and a reel, and then you got the rod.
And then the reel, is it like a spin type reel or what
spin
type reel?
Yeah, spin type reel. Yeah.
And then how do you cast? You cast with the weight.
You cast with the weight. You don't really cast because the river are really, really tiny. You can get across just with the length of the rod, really.
Oh yeah.
You don't really, you lob it, let's say. Because it's kind of your own thing if you want to put it that way. Because
you're
just fishing under your tip most of the time and try to feel the bite.
Yeah.
Really similar to your own thing, I say.
And you're moving that rod.
You're moving the rod. You're following the weight is so heavy, it's going to get straight to the bottom. But the fact that the line is running through it allows you to give movement to your worm.
Yeah.
You know, something stuck on the bottom. And then lift it up, let it go with the current, then drop it again, lift it up, let it go with the current, drop it again. And that's basically it.
And when you lift it up, does that hook come back and then you lift it up with the hook, or is there something that kind of stops
there's
it?
There's like a split shot.
Oh, yeah.
The main way is like a spiral
of
light. And then the split shot goes against it and stops it. And then from there, you can lift the whole thing. And then after the split shot, there's a swivel, a little bit of line, like a tippet, and the hook with the worm.
Okay, cool.
That was one of the many kind of fishing I've done. In Italy, there's a lot. We are really big on coarse fishing.
Yeah.
So red, chub, carps, sturgeon, barbel, you name it.
And you say we, you mean the family or you mean Italians?
Italians.
Okay.
Italians. And the family as well. My dad was into the national team. My uncle is still in the national team doing the coach of the nationals in San Marino. That part of my family is from San Marino, which is a little country inside Italy.
Oh, yeah.
So that's one of the main kind of fishing you will be doing if you go over there, coast fishing, so like carp and stuff like that. And then you can catch it with fly, of course. So my first fish on the fly rod was a carp, wasn't even a trout.
So is that invasive stuff? It's not native.
Yeah, that's right. But if you think about it, nothing it is. Because even trout are invasive for New Zealand, but they're not because they're controlled. And
but in Italy,
it's not like when I see, because people in here they bowl the carp, right, and then they lay the grass and they take a photo, and if I send one of those photos to one of my friends, they just gonna fucking
going
crazy because it's like why are you keeping a koi carp? It's such a beautiful fish, but. Mm. The culture here is like pest fish. We don't want it. We kill it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You're talking about the culture here.
Yeah, in New Zealand.
In New Zealand. But the culture in Italy wasn't the same.
No, you just catch and release the carp. And especially koi carp, if you catch one of those in the river, it's like it's really like a miracle. Like,
yeah, yeah, it's like a trophy almost.
It's not best, you know, like really a great catch to do in a wild environment. While in here, it's the opposite.
Yeah, yeah, you just kill it.
You know, different regulation, different environmental laws, which makes complete sense.
And different mentality. That's the thing.
And different mentality, yeah. I see New Zealand like something away from the old world.
Mm. I agree. Not,
that's the way I see it. And everything they do, they try to keep it their world, in their circle.
Yeah.
So if there's a weed I don't want, I do everything to eradicate it. If there's a animal I don't want, I do everything to eradicate it, and so on. So, which is good because the environment and the nature you get here is so pristine that I see why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But it's places, the difference is really like here in New Zealand, really like in the Alps.
Yeah.
And the more you get to the city, it gets polluted and there's carp and there's some kind of weed that grows over the water so it doesn't get UV, so there's no life in the river, so there's only a certain type of fish, only a certain type of bugs, a certain type of weed. So makes sense what they're doing. I think it is good.
So when do you go over from just doing like traditional fishing to picking up a fly rod, like what age?
I don't know if there's age because I always mix match. I was tying flies with the fibers from the broom of my grandmother. I was cutting some fibers from it to make the taste of the fly and using wool. When I was, I think, 10, but even before that, probably. They were ugly, really ugly, yes, but it was fun for me just to tie them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But were you using them or were you just tying them? Were you actually
just
fishing with
them?
Just
tying them at the beginning because I didn't even have a fly rod.
Yeah. And what was that, dry flies?
No, it was a snim. So I was using the smallest hook I could find and then clipping with a plier a split shot close to the eye. So that would be my bead, like a nymph.
Yeah.
Then from there, I would start tying the tails, the body, the legs or whatever, or a little fish. So like with marabous or something that would look like a fish while it was in the water. So I was just using whatever was around me, really. And I had a lot of fun doing that at the beginning. And then there was an old man living just in front of where we were staying. I think I was eight or 10, something like that. And my dad was used to go fishing with this man. He might have been 70 at least. And we were kind of in the center, but not really, a little bit tucked away. And the street we were living in, there was not many cars going by. Let's say one every 5 minutes. So this man was going out and cast on the street. So it was like just practicing casting. So I was just there at the gate watching him. And until a day, he probably said to me, I don't even remember, but he probably said to me, just come, try. And from there, I just picked a fly rod up and I was going on his basement watching him tie. I remember, I think I was, even before the 8 or 7, I have, you know, not clear memory about that, but I was like walking like into a library, but instead of books, there was like fly boxes and vices and feathers and flies and rods and reels. So that was like, for me, it was massive. Probably it was like 3 meter by 3, but at that time, for me, it was massive.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a cool memory to have.
Yeah.
And was your whole family, like grandfather, dad, and uncles and stuff, were they like heavy, practical, hands-on, doing their own stuff? Because in Rod and Reel, which for people who don't know was a fly fishing shop in Auckland that everybody really loved and that unfortunately closed, which was really sad. I mean, you fixed everything. You could do everything. Like, was that just from a kid, was that taught to you, or did you figure it out yourself? Like, how did that work?
Yeah. My father is an handyman, so he could fix everything, do everything. A lot of his jobs was really handy. So I picked that up from him. and everything, you can, I don't know, from everything really, from, because I had a background as motorbike rider.
Yeah. Was that from a kid?
Yeah. 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 As I pick up a fishing rod when I was 4, and then I pick up a bike when I was 6.
Oh, yeah.
So I grew up together, fishing and motorbike. So even a motorbike, when you have a motorbike, you got to know a little bit how to put your hands on it. Because otherwise you always, you know, you can't ride because something needs to change. So obviously you start and you figure it out yourself. And that's what my dad taught me as well. He was an ebonist, so working with wood, fixing piano as well, the harmonics of the piano. So that's a lot of handiworks.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a chef as well. So again, I picked that from him. So I picked a lot of things from him, and there was fishing as well, motorbikes as well. And try to, if I break a rod, I'll try to fix it. So I took the guides off, I put it back from inside, from underneath, and then I bind it, I find the right glue, and I go out and I test it. If it doesn't work, I'll do it again. So something that I really like, and something that I always do, and I, even now, I just like to do. And fly tying is the same. You need to find out your creative part to make up a fly most of the time. And with different material, mixing them up together, find the right way to make it look like how you want. And that's what I always did. So even a rod and reel, someone will come out with a broken reel. Most of the guys there say, I just toss it in the bin. And I was like, going there, pick it from the bin, try to fix it. And I would fix it. And I say, look, it's fixed now.
Nice.
And go, okay, just keep it there. It's like, you know.
That's very valuable, because I mean, I only started fly fishing when I came to New Zealand, so 5 years ago, and there was COVID in between, and I don't think I really knew what I was doing till like a year ago. But then you fish with people that have been fishing their whole life, and they don't realize what they know. You know, they've got like, you fish with them and there's like 20 years, 30 years of experience, and they think it's just normal. But if you only started like 4 years ago, that's not normal. You're not at that level. I think when we moved to Southland, that really taught me like how to figure out fishing, because I wasn't just like asking someone the whole time, oh, where do I go? Like, what do I do? Yeah. Now I have to go by myself. Now, like, you know, someone doesn't get annoyed with me and like fix my knot. It's me. I need to read the river myself. And if you can learn that from like the age of 6, that's amazing, man. That's the one thing I feel like would be cool to have.
Like in anything, I think there's a depth of learning you got to do.
Yeah.
I think you pay that off, then you can start and improving.
Yeah.
Anything really. So yeah, that's, but you had a quick improvement, because I remember you showed me photos of small rainbows and they will break off and this and that. And then now I see, you know, decent fish.
Yeah. But you know what happened? I went to a lot of rivers here, right? And I couldn't figure them out. And then two rivers I just started going to a lot. And then I start figuring that rivers out. And I sometimes feel I'm cheating, because I've started doing a lot of using a lot of wee wets and just swinging flies.
Yeah.
Man, and it's so addictive. And my...
You feel the take. It's nice.
Yeah, it's so cool. And it's I feel I have much more success when I'm swinging flies. And the other thing is like dry dropper on small rivers for me is easy, because you know what you're doing. You've got two chances. So I'm just like, at this moment, I'm focusing on this.
Yeah, and that's good.
I feel adventurous, I'll go and do something I don't know. But when I like, fuck, I need to go fish, then... That's the thing.
You're gonna get to fish and be more relaxed.
You told me a while ago, like you did a lot of motorbike racing, and but that was like a career for you, right? Like, how did that happen?
As I said, I was 6, and they put me on a motorbike, like a mini bike. Where I'm from in Italy as well, but especially where I'm from, the reason I'm from. It is really is 50-50 with football.
Yeah, but biking.
So yeah, biking. So it's a big thing.
Oh, yeah.
So either there or that one. So there's a lot of motorbike riders now nowadays. Even the one that won the last MotoGP 2023 is Italian. And the first 10, six of them are Italian.
Oh, wow.
Because it's so big in Italy. So obviously I grew up in there, and I just got it from the reason, I'd say. From my dad as well, because he was riding dirt bikes.
Yeah, yeah.
So
did you start on dirt bikes?
No, it's a mini bike, but on track.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they put me on it. I liked it. I loved it. And so he just kept bringing me.
Yeah.
To the track every Sunday. So we were watching MotoGP, the race, and then we would go for real. So it was
and then you're psyched.
All popped up. And yeah! I was like, yeah, let's go. And then you go. And then from there, we start competing with the small bikes. And then we moved to bigger bike and then bigger bike until I was probably 14. And we moved to the 125s, riding in proper circuits like Mugello, Misano. I don't know if you know about motorbikes, but
No. But those are the main... inform me, tell me.
Yeah, yeah, right. So those are the main circuits.
Yeah.
You want to go? Mugello is probably the best circuit in the world for me.
Yeah.
And for Italians as well. But it's really a big thing. And so it's a start racing. And we look for sponsorships because it's quite an expensive hobby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to, like, it's constant. Something's breaking. You use, yeah, it's just.
Even if
time.
Nothing breaks, you don't crash. You just go there. That's already expensive because you pay the mechanic, you pay the tires, you pay the fuel, licensing the truck. There's a lot of money that goes in there.
Yeah.
So not many people have the opportunity to express themselves just because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
So I got lucky to do that. And so we did that for a while. I did that until I was 18. And I was competing in the Italian championship.
Yeah.
I remember the last race, I was 10th. And that was the last race. Before the start, he just told me, look, this is the last one. We can't afford to keep on.
That's your parents. Did your parents say that?
Yeah, my father, yeah. So just enjoy. And I was like, no, this can't be true, you know? But that was it. It got quite expensive. I remember I was 18 and I started working when I was 17. And what I was getting in a month wouldn't cover a day on the truck. So I said, fuck it, this really, we can't. Unfortunately, we couldn't keep going. A lot of sponsors dropped down. There was a little crisis in Italy as well. A lot of places closing.
Like financial crisis.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So that was the end of it. I always kept the dirt bike because it's still like motorbike. So I was just taking it up and going off up in the hills or on trucks as well with the dirt bike. And then one just I sort of like let it go a little bit because I was growing up. I started working.
What work were you doing?
I was a waiter. That was the first work. Yeah. My father being a chef, also put me through the same hospitality.
Yeah.
Even if I did a thermomechanic school, so I didn't really continue that. I actually dropped out of that because of motorbike. So start working, and after a while, I just got bored, really. So I decided to leave.
And then you didn't continue biking? Like
I didn't continue biking yet because it was too expensive. I couldn't afford it. So we probably spent another year looking for a sponsorship, doing some tests here and there, trying to keep it up, but we just couldn't afford it anymore.
Yeah. And are you fishing all the time at that stage still?
Yeah.
At least fishing.
When I'm not riding, I was fishing. Yeah. Yeah. I did drop school, so that wasn't a problem anymore. I was just fishing and riding, so that was great.
Sounds ideal, man.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do now. If I can just like not work.
Yeah, it was great. I had
Okay, but then, I mean, you're, how old are you now? Like, there's a big gap between you coming to New Zealand and that time.
The moment I dropped motorbike, I never dropped it because I always kept riding with the dirt bike.
Yeah, yeah.
I just moved to something that was a little bit more accessible. With dirt bikes, you pay for fuel, you're done. You know, you don't need much. Yeah. If you know how to do, how to fix the bike yourself a little bit, you don't need much. So that was really, I really enjoyed that because it was just going with mates, pick up the bikes with the truck, going to the circuit, come back really easy and relaxed without really too much going on. And that was great. But then become slowly more a hobby rather than a career.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of like took it, I can't get to that way. I can't go that way. I sort of like, all right, that's fine. And just enjoy at least, you know, what I can do. So I did that. And then I started working. So then I went to work. There's less time. So you just focus a little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. And then I did that for 5 years, probably three, four, 5 years. And I didn't like that life anymore.
Mm.
I couldn't really, you start growing up probably and you start to realize a few things and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
There's nothing that blocked me from going, or then there's nothing that is worth staying.
Yeah.
Obviously the family, but you're not going to kill them all. You're just going to leave and you can come back whenever you want.
Yeah.
So I decided, why not? With friends, we just decided, let's go to Australia. Because it was like a big thing. Oh, Australia, everyone's going to Australia. Let's go there. Let's have fun. So it was like, I remember at the beginning was like 15 of us wanting to go to Australia. And then at the end it was just 5.
Yeah.
And then 3. So I did 1 year in Australia. Then I got back.
To Italy.
To Italy, yeah. I did 1 year just working in farms, picking, working a month, and then traveling. And then the year ends, and then I go back to Italy. In Italy, I think I didn't last more than 3 months. And I'm like, nah, I'm going back again. Can't stay here. Even because when you leave and you're on your own, 24, independent, doing whatever you want, and you start, basically, you're not dependent to anyone. You can leave. You learn how to live by yourself.
Yeah.
So that feeling is like, I just can't give it up and go back to live with my parents. It's just, it's crashing. It's just.
Yeah. I get that.
I guess you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. For me, it's like when I work for a boss, I lost like 2 years and then I just start working for myself again.
Yeah. It's like that. I'm working on that as well.
Ah, good. So, we'll talk about that later. Yeah.
Yeah, so where was I? Yeah.
Yeah, so now you're like...
I decided to leave again. And I leave again. And the second time I leave, even before leaving, a girl texted me to get information about Australia.
Ah.
And that was Veronica.
Ah.
I was already... I've done already the experience of Australia, so I was just getting information for her.
So you're on her profile picture, and you're going like, she's going to get all the information. Okay, yeah. This one I'm going to have. Not the other one, but this one for sure.
Yeah, I can tell her something. This fine. And then she was just trying to get information at the beginning. And I was like, whatever you want. Tell me what you want. I can help you out.
Tell me what then you want, leave. What you really, really want. There's a song like that, brother.
Something like that. And then I leave and I go, I am in Australia. She wasn't in Australia. She was still in Italy. So I just start. I got back in Australia to the friends that I was with before I left. Because in Australia, for Italians, you can get 1 year. And then if you do some farm jobs, you can do another year. And then you can decide if you want to split it or if you just want to go back to back. I decided to split it and he decided to go back to back. So when I got back, he was still halfway through his second year. So I just got back to him. He had a car. He had a job. So I just started doing what he was doing. And I just restart the whole Australian experience. Then after a month, she texts me again. Say, oh, look, I'm here. You know, I'm actually, I don't want to do farm jobs, but the job that I'm here for, I can't really find it. And my English is not that great. So if you want to help me, you know, I would like to come with you to do farm jobs. So I say, yep.
Yeah, because she was also on your profile picture.
That's right. Like, oh, you know what? I thought about it for a month. She's okay. So we met, and then from there we never split apart. Really, cool. That is.
How long ago was that?
That is 6 years ago.
And you're married, right? How long have you been married?
We are not married. I mean, say we're married. I always say to her, we're already married. That's not
yeah,
married. But we didn't get married because we want to do it in Italy, and we still didn't find the right time to do it. But we're gonna do it.
Cool. So did you get her into fishing?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Her surname is Mosca, which in Italy means fly.
Ah, interesting. Oh yeah, Mosca. Yeah.
So that was like perfect. Yeah, she in Australia, she was just coming with me. I would fish. Like in the Yarra Valley, I would fish. And she would just wait in the car all day. Maybe reading. Yeah, doing the air things, going for a walk, whatever. And I guess after a while, she just got bored of waiting me. So she said, yeah, I'm going to come with you today. Show me, you know, what you do. So she started coming along first. And then she started appreciate the environments the fly fishing brings you.
Yeah, for sure.
And that, I think, is what triggers her more than fly fishing itself.
Yeah.
Then obviously she started to learn everything and start to appreciate the whole thing. But at the beginning was just enjoy where we are.
But she's ripping it up, man. I've seen videos where she's like casting with a dry fly only to a freaking fish, spot fishing, and then
Yeah. She's great.
I mean, she's definitely better than me.
Yeah. She got some fish that probably are better than mine. So I'm kind of jealous about that, but at the same time quite proud. So that's great. It's a great feeling when you can do it together. It's great when you can share and appreciate the same thing, have the same values and stuff like that. It's just great.
And then I mean that's kind of the perpetuation of how you grew up, you know, with your father and your grandfather.
Keeping sharing the passion and the love.
Yeah. Keeping it alive. That's awesome.
Keeping it alive, and this is gonna keep going with my son Alessandro now, which is just got thrown into. It doesn't really have a choice.
He's gonna fish better than all of us. It's like my buddy, does Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and his two kids are like, I think like 14 and 10, and now they just go to class with him. Yeah, so when they're like freaking 18, they're just going to kill everyone. They're just going to be so good, you know. They just don't have a choice. And
if you look at all the best, everywhere you look, they always came up from a tradition in the family or something that really got them where they were young, especially in sports, because if you don't do it when you're young, it's just too late.
Yeah. If you want to be good. So do you favor a specific technique? Like, I mean, there's a lot of people I know that look down on Euro, you know, it's not fishing, they call it bottom trawling, but I mean, you're agnostic, right? You like do everything. Is there something you favor?
If you do, just to take a little part on the Euro anything side, if you do it properly, you actually don't touch the bottom. So
you can troll.
You're not touching the bottom. But take that away. If I have to choose, one way, if you tell me, look, you got to catch one fish only and then you stop fishing, how would you do it? And be on a dry fly.
Oh, cool, man.
That's it. I would just sit there, try to see what he's doing. Get something small, possibly. I don't know why, but it intrigues me more that the fact that I can have the attention of the fish from something little rather than a big thing that splashes on the water or moves along. And that's what I'd rather do. Like now in summer, we've got just wet weight with one rod, dry fly. And if there's a fish rising or we can spot a fish, it's good. Otherwise, we just walk on.
Man, there's a spot here, which I'm not going to tell you now, but obviously, I'll tell you when we're not recording, where there's like a rise 2 o'clock every day.
Yeah, you told me that. You told me that. You're gonna have
you're gonna come. I'll take you there, and then I'll have to shoot you. But you're gonna have the best day before that.
One fish is enough,
dude. So good. So why move to New Zealand? You're staying in the land of like the best food in the world, like history, everything. Why move here?
I got asked this question so many times, and I get it because I think Italy is just the best place you can be, really. But if you're 24 or 25, you have just a normal job and you try to live in that society, it's not that good.
Mm.
So you got to take it in a different way. Otherwise, it's not that enjoyable as if you go as a, you know, just tourist. We've been there when it was 6 months ago because we just had to go. You know, we need to show the baby. And it was 5 years last time we got there, 4 years. And it was just great. The food was great. The people was great. I just enjoy every day. Even if we got sick, we were jet lagged the whole time with the 4 months old baby through 35 hours flight, whatever. But I just enjoy being there. I just enjoy the family, everything. But I was there as a tourist. I wasn't there in the society. I wasn't there as a normal person, as normal people there.
Yeah,
the way, the cost of living, what you see on TV and all that, that's not great.
Yeah.
I think Italy is just the best place. So we're working on being able to go back and just enjoy and just stay there as and not as a lot of people down there, a lot of society, a lot of mentality they got down there going on. Yeah.
It's the same when we go back to South Africa. We were in November or October and we're going in April again. You're a tourist. You go to all the great spots. The food is cheap because I'm coming with dollars. But then you listen to your friends and they're talking about crime. It's not a reality anymore. So you as an immigrant, you start building this idyllic vision of that country. Yeah. Oh, like it's the feeling of being with friends, but you know, you just, those friends move away. It's difficult. Like you forget all the reasons you moved and you remember the reasons you would have stayed.
Oh yeah. We just did like that. We knew already why we left the second we got there. But as I said, the country is just the greatest country of all, I guess. Food wise, history wise, the beauty, the everything, you know, the wellness is all there.
Mm.
You just need to be there in a way that you can enjoy all those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so in Italy, like, you know, are there kind of conservation issues on rivers that are at the, you know, that's something that you think is relevant? Like, is there like habitat decline? Is there people worrying about like fish numbers? Like what's going on in kind of that?
All right. Let's start from license. In Italy, you pay a license, which is way less than what you pay here.
Mm.
But you probably go ask for it at least 30 times in 1 year.
Oh, wow.
In New Zealand, I pay 10 times more and nobody never asked me.
Yeah, I've never been asked.
That's right. Yes, there's a lot of regulations. Trout fishing is different. There's not as much, there's not as big, and a lot of them are private. It is not like England. England is really, everything's private. You got to pay.
Yeah. It's exclusive.
Everyone, you know, they own everything. So you got to know or you got to pay. In Italy, it's not like that. You still pay, but it's just a regional fee because you go there and there's someone that is looking after the place. So I get that. So that's fine. I got back 6 months ago. We got back and I went fishing with my dad. And I think we paid 20 euros to fish the day and 20 euros for a license that last year. They're all here. So it's way cheaper, way more affordable, obviously, than here. And yeah, it is regulated, but it's not is not confined to privates and to who got more money. There's a lot of places like that. There's a lot of places where you got to pay €3,000 a year to get access to that, and there's only 20 people. There's 20.
Yeah, that exclusivity is a thing. I mean, staying in Southland, you've been to Southland, right? You've actually gave me some spots to go fish when we moved here. And this is like heaven. I pay a fee. I've got an app. It tells me where I can access rivers. And from there, I can do my own research. It's freaking heaven. Even the hunting, I just walk into the hills, I see a deer and I pull the trigger and it's finished. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
No private. Yeah.
That's right. The freedom you got is unmatched. And the possibility you got to find a good river with good amount of trout and really nice fish, that one is as well is unmatched. I think New Zealand is the mecca of fly fishing.
Yeah.
Canada can be great. Patagonia would be great. But we've never been there, so we can't really judge.
Mm.
But I guess New Zealand for sure is on the podium. It's just the whole thing is just great. It's just perfect.
But is there something in you, like for me, the ideal would be to catch, let's say, trout where it's native, America, Canada, Patagonia. For me, that's what I want to do. If I can catch native trout, that would be amazing. Like, is there something in your mind like that or not really?
Yeah, we got a bucket list. We got a few places we'll go for sure. Patagonia.
Yeah.
There's a little river down there. We have some Chilean friends. We have some Argentinian friends. So that's for sure on the list. And we're going to go there and do those things. And that will feel different because, you know, the fish is just hasn't been brought there. It was always there. And in Europe, you feel that way. You don't really feel there's a lot of tank fish, as I call it. So they release it. They release them in the river. They etch them and then they release them. But there's a lot of native fish as well in Italy and in all Europe on the Alps. We got something that is like we got marble trouts.
Oh, that man, I saw a documentary about that. That looks amazing.
Yeah, that's one of the greatest fish. I think that if you fly, you fly fish, you gotta catch. You just gotta.
Why? Because I hear it's quite difficult also.
Yeah, it's like a brown, but a little bit more difficult than a brown.
Why?
A little bit more wild, a little bit more smart. It's just another breed completely. And that's really interesting to do. If you ever go to Italy, you gotta go up there and doing a little bit of that. And then we have some brook trouts as well. We call it Salmonato, which is like a Fontanellis.
Yeah.
In Latin, which is the brook trout.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of those up in the Alps. And that is great. Just the really tiny creeks going up the mountains in the snow, catching these tiny piece of art, the really bright colors. It's just marvelous. Like,
did you say piece of art?
Yeah, piece of art. Yeah,
that's cool, man. So are you like, you know, I'll go to the Waimakariri with the dry fly and catch tiny fish and just think it's the best. And then other people, if they don't catch a big fish, it's like, if the fish isn't big on the photo on Instagram, it's stupid.
Yeah, like, I think
how do you feel about that?
I think that if you want to enjoy what you're doing, you gotta just do it for yourself. Don't think, oh, I'm gonna catch a fish, and when you have a big fish on, you lose it. The first thing comes up in your mind is like, oh fuck, I really wanted to put that photo on Instagram.
Mm.
I really want my mate to see that. I really want the people to see that I catch a big fish. It's like you shouldn't care about that. The fish came up on your dry, took it. From that moment on, it's done. If you land it, if you don't, just enjoy the fight. It doesn't matter. And as you said, when you go on the Waimakariri and you go that tiny little rainbow and the color on them, the patterns on them, it's just crazy.
It's awesome.
The white on the fins, the oval shape on the side, all those micro dots. It's like, I'd rather have that than a fish on the Nongota. That is back to the mouth. It's dark, it's spent, but people rather go there and, you know, anyway, that's just.
I get what you're saying, man. I get what you're saying. I fished the Nongatar obviously a bunch of times and I loved it.
Everyone did.
Yeah.
Go there. There's big fish.
Easy to massive catch. Fish.
There's a lot of them. You can go away with 60 fish a day. Easy. Yeah. But it's different. You go after the 10th fish, after a dozen fish, it's just fishing in a different way. You don't even pay attention to the moment. You don't even pay attention to the fish you're catching. It's just not even touching the fish anymore. Just take the hook off. It's just another number. Mm. And you just go numbers, rather than quality.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I guess it's two kind of, it's just two different sports.
With, yeah, for yeah. sure. The areas with the marble trout and those kind of brook trout, what areas are they in Italy?
You can find them in Trentino.
Yeah.
In Trentino, there's also Trentino Alto Adige. There's a good guy. You can find him on Instagram. Then I pass it on to you. And that's easy. You find them easy over there. They spread a little bit around the country, but obviously the north part of Italy is where you want to go.
Why?
There's so much going on down south because it's like New Zealand upside down.
Mm.
You go Cape Ringa, there's no trout. It's just too hot. The river are not the same quality. The temperature of the water is not the same. The bugs are not the same because they're different temperatures. So Italy is the other way around. The more you go up, the more you find the environment that the trout likes, and the more trout you're going to find.
And can someone like go by themselves, buy that license as a foreigner, or do they they don't have to use a guide?
They don't have to use a guide. I believe nobody needs to use a guide. But if you only have 2 days or a week, you've got to have a guide. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Unless you're enjoying wasting your time looking for places, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if you have like just those days, just try to make the most, try to enjoy and have something to tell other people that you know now and to come back to something that you know is good. And all the knowledge you can absorb from a guide, that's invaluable. So it doesn't matter how much you pay the guy, but if you can soak up the most of what he knows, that's just invaluable.
I agree, man. So I see we've got 15 minutes left, but I've got a couple of more questions. How does your career take you to work at Rod and Reel? Did you just tell them, listen, I've been fishing, I can fix stuff? Like, how do you end up there?
I was just there every day after work. When we came here, I was working as a builder.
Yeah.
Like, handyman in the construction site. And then after work, Veronica was still working. I think she was like working 1 hour more than me.
Yeah.
I was finished earlier. So I was just going there in the shop, kicking stuff around, grabbing flies and flicking rods and spending 1 hour there. And after a while, they say, just look, you're always here. Do you want to work? Because we need someone. Do you want to pick up a role? I said, sure, why not? So I left the other place and I started there. At the beginning, it was just a few hours and then was more, was just all days and then all week and then started from there.
And Manic Tackle, you're now at Manic Tackle. What do you do? What's your role?
I am customer service and general operation. Especially. So do everything really in the warehouse.
Yeah.
So from inwards to pick an order, to send an order, to deal with customers, send emails. If you call, I'm the one that answers the phone. So the Italian accent.
So that's good. It feels like a foreign experience. What does Manic Tackle do? They're just like a big supplier. You import and you distribute to shops. They're a distributor.
That's right. Yeah. Not only that, Rene is a designer, he's a rod designer.
Oh, yeah.
So we have Primal.
Yeah.
We're still going better and better, coming up with greater products every time. And so, yes, he imports stuff for the main part of it, but also works on his projects, so rods and reels. Collaborates with brands, obviously, you know, they all ask information, so to, you know, about what they can do better, what you think the market will go and stuff like that. So yeah, it's there's a lot going on in there. It is not just the warehouse. And yeah, I like it. I miss a little bit the one-to-one feeling.
Yeah.
You're coming into the store and chat for half an hour. That's, you know, something that I miss. And advise people more directly.
Yeah.
That's what I miss. And I started guiding as well, because just you get into the one-to-one. So people want you to take them on the river.
Yeah.
And so I start guiding as well.
How often are you guiding now?
Now, not at all, because with a new job, I don't get to see people one-to-one.
Yeah.
Obviously, you take one client out once, twice, three times, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Not really. Especially in Auckland, where you're going to go. Like, you got those rivers. When you told them how to fish, different techniques, and some people want to know more about Euro fishing, nymphing, so you take them for that. But then after a while, they sort of like run out, because you're doing a different kind of job. You're not that in their face anymore. You're not seen anymore. So it's different, yeah.
But there's a lot of posts on Instagram where you're like promoting a business. I have no idea what you're talking about. And then there's like you got these charts on, which in my mind, the only thing I can see is like the river levels like going down and it's good for fishing. Tell me about that.
It looks
that
like your new business? Like. Nah, yeah, it's a new thing we are taking on, because as I said before, we want to be free.
Yeah.
To be what's the word?
Independent.
Yeah. When you go to a country, I don't know why I lost the word.
Immigrate.
No, you're like going on holiday.
Yeah, tourist.
Yeah, that's right. We want to be free to feel like tourists every time, wherever we go.
Yeah.
So that's what we wanted to achieve. So we're working on something that gives us the freedom of being whenever you want.
Yeah.
Like your job, you can do it wherever, from wherever, really. So that's what we're doing. And but basically, the chart you're seeing is just trading.
It's just trading? Cool. Yeah. I'm like, this is river level.
Nah, they look the same.
Exactly, bro.
And that's why I like them, because I'm like, oh yeah, I saw those already. I pretty much know what that is. So yeah, that's what we're doing. Plus, we did a book. We wrote a book about New Zealand. At the moment, it is in Italian, so for Italians to have information about the country, to what they should do before they come here, how they can stay here, how they can work, how's the life here.
That's and awesome. Where are you distributing that book?
You can find that on Amazon at the moment.
Cool.
Yeah. And we are translating it in English. So for England or Americans.
Yeah, cool. I also have a book on Amazon since last week, a children's book about a dog. So
no way.
Yeah.
We're gonna need that. We're gonna need that one.
Yeah, soon you'll need it, huh?
Yeah. It is an ebook or a hard copy?
Both. Paper. Right. I'll send you the link, man. I'll send you the link. Yeah. Messing nice. Around a bit when I'm bored. So yeah, man. So if you reach that like financial freedom, what are you doing? Are you staying in New Zealand and just fishing? Are you traveling the world? Like
We like New Zealand. But again, we like New Zealand as tourists. So we love New Zealand, we love the place, the freedom, the loneliness you get, some parts of the country, the attachment you get to the place, to the nature. We've been up to Ngarororo with a tent. In the central plateau, and we 3 or 4 days, and we just slept and fish upstream, and at the end of it, you just feel completely different. You sort of like let go everything. Mm. Everything is just noise, and you focus on the real thing, and the time change as well, because you live with the sun. So there's no sun. You stay awake another hour, maybe chatting in front of the fire, and then you go to sleep. Mm. And then you wake up when there's light outside. So that one again helps you to reconnect to nature and to the movement, to the sun and to all that energy that you don't really pay attention when you're just in the city, bombarded with information and stuff to do.
Yeah.
And that's just what we love, and that's great. That's why we stayed, because at the beginning we just didn't know. We didn't know. We do another visa where we spend money, we work to get a resident. What we're doing, we didn't know. And then just by leaving the nature here, we just decided, yeah, let's stay because this is great. We like it, and we actually feel better than just sit in Italy for the time being. So we just kept on going.
That's cool, man. Yeah, I feel the same, man. If I'm out there fishing or hunting or hiking, which there's plenty to do around here, it's like I don't have a job. There's nothing.
nothing. You just connect to the water that moves in front of you, and you just hear that one, and that's it. There's nothing else. And maybe you hunt, so obviously you look around more. Your eyes start to work in a different way. You spot a deer, you become like part of the system, and it's hard to explain. You just have to live it and feel it and go through it. But
I was checking the weather here, and it's gonna rain from today to like next Monday, and I'm like, I just wanted to go fish, man. I just like drive out, and there's ritual to it. Like there's a spot where I stop and I buy like a sandwich, you know, and I like the place, and then I go to a specific spot and I fish there for like X amount of time, and then I go to my other spot, and sometimes, you know, I'll fish and I'll catch 5 fish. I go like, I'm finished. Like this is it. It's filled my tank. It doesn't matter.
That's right. I got a friend of mine. He goes out. He fishes. He go 3 fish, 4 fish, and he goes, that's it. There you go. I don't need any more than that. I just enjoy those 4. I got them how I wanted to get them, and that's it. I'm not gonna enjoy more if I keep catching them. It's gonna just go backwards. So I just stop there, enjoy the moment, and that's it.
And for me, the thing is, you know, if I haven't fished for long, you know, like it's a new thing, really. Like just the fact that with a fly I can trick the fish, even if it's a tiny fish. That fish thinks this is food. That's already a win.
That's a win.
You know. It would be nice to see how I'm going to fish in 20 years. man.
Improve.
Hey, last question. Do you ever take, do you eat fish still like in Italy, or do you, is it release all of it?
As I said, when we were going fishing, when I was a kid, if you didn't bring a fish back, it means you didn't really do a great job. You didn't really do a great job. You didn't catch anything, because you go out, you get a fish and you bring those back. To feed, you know, for the feed. So I always ate trout, but then when I moved in here, I don't know why, but probably even because of dry fly fishing, the connection you get to the fish. I mean, you sit there half an hour because he almost saw you, so you just stay like that. And then you change the fly, and then you change another fly, and then he refuses it, and then you put something else you think is gonna work. So you almost have a relation with the fish. And then it makes me don't want to kill it. Even if I caught it, it's like playing a match, which I won this time, but I don't want to kill it because I have kind of make a relationship.
Yeah. I understand that. For me, I don't know why, even hunting, like I feel a bit like shit afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like, okay, I just killed something. Like, that was my decision, right? And last time I fished, I took 2 fish home. And I'm like, you know. And what happened is I forgot my net. So when I had that big fish I'm going to have to kill it.
My
wife also said, bring something home.
So then, us as well. You know, we just, the fly got too deep. And he's not going to make it. So what's the point of listening if he's going to die? At this point, I'm going to take it home. But otherwise, I try to be the most respectful as I can, just not order the fish. And
that day also, because I forgot the net, I knew if I was catching more, I'm going to have to pull it out on the bank or something like that.
That's right.
So I'm just going to stop. Like I've got the biggest fish I've ever caught. It was funny. You probably saw it on Instagram. I had the fish on the gill that was already
there. Yeah, I was like, that is on the pen.
And then someone messaged me and said I shouldn't treat the fish like that. I'm like, oh,
yeah,
so, bro,
yeah. I saw your reply. I was like, yeah, I know everyone is gonna say it. That's gonna go, but that's fine. I mean, that's even better than you know, try to resuscitate the fish for half an hour. It's not gonna live. It's mm-mm. bleeding and all that.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, and with hunting, I never killed an animal. Maybe a bird when I was in Italy when I was a kid, with a shotgun, but. Apart from that, I never kill like a deer or anything.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. But that is different, I guess. You eat the meat. There's a process behind it. There's I don't know. It's a survival thing. It's different.
Yeah. Andrea, last question. When's your next fishing trip?
What day is today? Today it is
Wednesday.
Monday. Next Monday is public holiday or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday. So Monday or Tuesday or Sunday, one or the other. We were supposed to go the other day, but the weather wasn't too great because now it's not like whatever I'm going. Now it's like a little bit too windy for the baby, a little bit wet for the baby, a little bit too cold. So you got to work around that one. So I had my share of fishing.
Yeah.
So that I can just... relax and sit back a little bit and try to enjoy this with my son, which I think
this period because it's going to go like that. It's going to be over.
It's already gone like that. It's already 1 year. It's crazy.
I can imagine.
I don't even know what I've done this year. Probably nothing. That's why I don't know.
You're going to have to send me a couple of photos on Instagram so I can post, photos of you and the wife and the bambino.
Yes.
When I launched the podcast, man, it was cool seeing your face. I loved going into Rod and Reel and getting advice and then forgetting all of it as I walk out of the shop.
And then come back again and say,
and then come back again.
You told me this already, but how did you do that?
I used to go in there and I bought flies, but I have no idea why I bought them. At least now when I buy something, it's a goal.
You know why. That's great. I love that.
Andrea, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, man.
We'll talk again, man. Ciao.
Ciao, brother.